Blog Talk Radio.
Always Ascending inspires listeners to live life consciously and intentionally by reaching, growing, learning, climbing, becoming, and achieving all that they are capable of. Always Ascending inspires us all to see our life's experiences, the joys and the challenges, as part of our ascension to becoming better human beings. Always Ascending is about purifying and celebrating our life's journeys and our life's experiences. Welcome to Always Ascending.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Always Ascending, the show that focuses on self-actualization, which is the process of becoming all that we are capable of becoming. I am Akanke Tiamoya Abdulkhalik, and I'm happy to be with you this morning. It is 6 a.m. in Saudi Arabia, where I am broadcasting this show from, and it's early, and I'm a little bit sleepy, but the sleepiness is replaced by the excitement to engage in a conversation about self-actualization. For those of you who have been listening to my prior shows, I've had two shows before now, we've built up to this point by laying the foundation, talking about the five basic human needs on the pyramid of human needs. And at the top of the pyramid of basic human needs is the desire to become self-actualized, the desire to pursue fulfillment in life, to be creatively expressed, to be able to achieve noble objectives, and to ascend. And we've talked in the past about in order to get to the top of the pyramid, we have to have other basic needs fulfilled. And there's an ebb and flow in life where, you know, there are times when we have all of those basic needs filled, and there are times when only some of them. So life is a journey of ebbs and flows, peaks and valleys, and the self-actualizing person understands this and accepts this reality. And to this point, we're going to start focusing on the 16 characteristics of being a self-actualized person. And before we get into the conversation, I want to bring on a very special guest, someone who's a good friend of mine that I have a lot of respect for, and I know that he too is a self-actualizing person, and I'll let him tell you more about that. It is my dear, wonderful husband, Nasheed Abdulkhalik. Welcome to the show, honey.
Thank you, honey. I want to ask you, how do you want me to talk about self-actualization when it's so early in the morning and I'm half asleep? Well, first of all, I want to thank my wonderful wife for giving me the opportunity to be on the show and to talk about self-actualization. And before I start, I would first like to say to the audience, Assalamu alaikum, which is Arabic, which means peace be upon you, and to say that just as each caterpillar is entitled to go through a stage of metamorphosis to become a butterfly, each of us as human beings are entitled to go through stages of development to reach self-actualization. When you look at the process of what we call human life from human birth, we begin with first the sperm meeting the egg inside a mother's womb. And when the sperm meets the egg, in just a few days, it forms something called a zygote. Then the human being, I wouldn't say human being at that point, but that zygote then goes through changes, and it develops and evolves until it becomes an embryo. And it further develops in a few months and becomes something we call a fetus. And finally, it comes to its full development to what we call a full-form baby. And it is then freed from the womb of its mother and enters into this world with a big, wah, crying. But what I want to say is that the stages that the child went through from a zygote all the way to a full-formed child and into this world, the stages of development and growth doesn't stop there. Okay, biologically we continue to grow. Biologically we continue to develop. We become children, teenagers, adults. And at each stage of our development, we gain new capacities, new awareness. But that's in our biological self. But we as human beings, we're not just physical. We're also mental and spiritual. And in our mental and spiritual development, we also go through phases of development. And those phases of development start with what we say the moral development first, where the child, the individual, learns what's right and wrong, good and bad, cleanliness and filth. And from that moral development, the growth of the human being goes on to a rational development, where it learns the whys, it begins to question things, and as a result of questioning things, the child begins to build knowledge. As a child, the mother may say, don't go across the street. So it will just follow what its mother says. But then at some point it will say, why did mommy say don't go across the street?
Mm-hmm.
And asking the question why brings that child to a rational development. And then as the person continues to grow and develop, they go on and on to spiritual development. And if we are aware that we are supposed to grow even higher, we don't want to be like the butterfly who reaches a stage in metamorphosis where he is half or she is half complete. You see, I'm giving the butterfly a male and female designation. Where they are half complete and they don't go all the way to become a butterfly. But with the human being, our growth is to go all the way to become fully self-actualized and our consciousness elevated to the point where it produces in us an illuminated mind.
Mm, that's beautiful. And as we've said before, the process of becoming self-actualized is a continuous journey.
Yes.
And as you've wonderfully illustrated, our self-actualization really starts from the time the sperm meets the egg in the womb. I mean, that's the beginning of life. And the end of life is, as we know it physically, is when we leave the physical earth. But even after that, spiritually, we continue to grow. So self-actualization is the reality in life. It's always a process. Now, the distinction is between consciously evolving as a thinking human being or consciously devolving. And I've always said that the opposite of becoming self-actualized is becoming less than what we can become, a person who has the potential to be more than he or she is. And that is a process where self-actualization has not been chosen. So it's wonderful to be in life in a way where you never stop growing. You realize that that this journey is a continuous journey of ebbs and flows, that the good things and the challenges that we face are all things to help us evolve higher, to always ascend and become better human beings. And I know you have your own story, and perhaps you can tell us a little bit about where you started on your journey of conscious self-actualization. And then we've got to talk about these first two characteristics. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your journey,
okay,
that part that really set you on that path that changed your life?
Well, my journey started when I was a 17-year-old teenager growing up in New York City. And I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. And if you know anything about New York City, you know that growing up in Brooklyn especially, you are exposed to a lot of influences. And I still want the audience to like me, so I'm not going to tell you all the bad things that I used to do before I got on the journey of self-actualization. But I was involved with a lot of negative things. And there was something inside me, though. There was something inside me that was dissatisfied with my life. I used to have a co-partner in crime. His name was Duke. And I would say to Duke, Duke, we got to stop this. We got to change our lives. Because there were many, many incidents in my life where I almost faced death. There were incidents where I could have been put away for the rest of my life. And many things were happening in my life that was like warning signs, was telling me, hey, you've got to change. This is not the life that you intended. And I'll step back a little bit to tell you that before I got involved with this street life that New York City provided for me, my parents did a good job in sending myself, my brothers and sisters, all of us to Catholic school. And while I was in Catholic school, I was a very good student. I was a well-behaved child. In fact, I was an honor roll student. But it was not until I got into high school, I went to Lincoln High School, where I got out of this Catholic school strict environment and was free to get involved with everything, I would say, that young kids my age were doing at that time. And as a result, I strayed away from the good disciplines that I learned when I was in Catholic school, and started doing things that I thought was just fun. Okay? And again, I'm not going to tell you those things because I still want you to like me. But inside of me, there was a dissatisfaction because my soul was not at peace. And as a result, I began to search. And I remember I had a out-of-world experience, as I would call it today. I remember there was one time I was in Brooklyn, and I went on top of, you know, the mailbox where you put your mail into, and I sat on top of that mailbox, and I sat there for about 2 hours, believe it or not, 2 hours, me sitting on top of the mailbox. People were looking at me like I was crazy, but I didn't care. But it put me in a deep sense of reflection. I was reflecting about my life, and it was as if... you know, I'm not a Christian priest to say I had a calling. I don't want to say it like that. But it was like something was telling me I had to make a change. So I began searching. And at that time, my parents had gotten fed up with me to the point where my father had kicked me out of the house. So I was not living at home. And I started to read. I started to look. And go look at different books. And it was not until I read the autobiography of Malcolm X, and reading that book turned my mind on to really want to make a change. The thing that attracted me the most about the autobiography of Malcolm X was the fact that he was living a life of crime at one point in his life, and he was even imprisoned, and he went through a lot of hardships. And as a result, he changed his life to a point where he made a difference, okay? It was like a dramatic transformation for him.
Okay, honey, I just want to alert the listeners that for some reason, we'll keep talking.
Okay.
And we'll upload the show, but... there's always something from week to week in terms of the technical things that happens with this with our program, but we may go off the air in about 60 seconds, but stay tuned and we'll have the show uploaded because the switchboard is now telling me that I have 42 seconds left. Keep talking, honey,
okay.
And we'll upload the show.
Okay, I hope that's a technical glitch and nothing real.
Yeah, keep talking, baby.
Okay, getting back to my life, as a result of reading Malcolm X's autobiography, my life changed for the better. And I was a 17-year-old student at Erasmus Hall High School in Brooklyn, New York. And prior to making a change in my life, I was failing in all my classes. And as a result of making the change, my life, my class grades and so forth improved. And I was able to go to a two-year college where I stayed on and became one of those students who was on the dean's list for every semester. And then from there, I went on to MIT. Now, those were the physical manifestations of things that was happening within me. And basically, it was the drive within me to achieve, I would say, higher consciousness, illumination, and to reach a stage of self-actualization in my life that caused me to perform better than I did when I was not conscious that this was a path for me to take.
You know, a lot of people, including myself, who read the autobiography of Malcolm X were profoundly affected. And his life story is one that you can only, it's so relatable, number one, especially for those who live in the urban environment, I'll say, and who live the urban experience, to be able to read about someone else who had that experience, and in many cases worse than what we ourselves personally experienced.
That's true.
To evolve to the level of wisdom and awareness and spiritual integrity and activism and love for the Creator and love for life, mm-hmm. as Brother Malcolm did. He was very inspiring. I mean, that book about his life really affected so many people. So I want us to segue now into talking about the first two characteristics of being a self-actualized person. And that is, the first one is accepting reality. So a self-actualizing person, and I'll read, as I've shared this on the show before, what it says. The self-actualized person has a more efficient perception of reality and is more comfortable in relationship to it. He or she can accept the good and the bad, the highs and the lows, and can tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go ahead and read the second one because they're related, and I decided to do two at a time so that we can sort of escalate the conversation. And because they're very close related also. The second characteristic is acceptance of self, others, and nature. The self-actualizing person sees reality as it is and accepts responsibility for it. He is as objective as a subjective being can be in his perceptions.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at your life and looking at my life, I mean, we can really talk about this in terms of our personal stories. In terms of at that point when you were sitting on that mailbox, you had to accept a reality. Reality hit you.
Yes, it did. It hit me like a cold slap on the face. I often use the expression that reality will exist whether we acknowledge it or not. In other words, reality is, and it's up to us to bring our perceptions to view reality or see reality for what it is if we really want to make progress. And that's a challenge in life. If you don't see the reality of your real situation, like for me, my situation, sitting on that mailbox and looking at my life, I had to take away all of the nice falsities that was in my mind, that I was just a bad dude, I can do this, and I had all these things that I considered great. Being able to play basketball, great, was wonderful. Being able to do my life of crime that I thought I was just super cool in doing and having money. Those things were falseness in terms of looking at what my real situation in life was. So it was seeing that my reality was one where I was going in a path of doom that made me say, hey, I have to make a change. And making that realization that of seeing the real truth about your life without the nice glitters and the nice painting you may have in your mind that may be unreal is what stopped me and made me really, really want to make a change.
Yeah, and that, you know, accepting reality is a continuous day-to-day requirement.
It is.
In order to really continue to be self-actualized, we've got to always stay grounded in reality and not be in denial, because I think the opposite of accepting reality is being in denial.
Exactly. You know, and it starts with first seeing the reality of yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, what are you about? What are you doing with your life? Where is it heading? What kind of future do you see for yourself if you continue in the path that you are going in?
Yeah.
Okay, it starts with that, first acknowledging the reality of what you are about, but it also involves looking at others and seeing people from a real perspective and not with dyed glasses.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Accepting people for who they
are. Accepting them for
who
they truly are,
mm-hmm.
rather than trying to see them for what they are not,
mm-hmm.
or judge them wrongly.
Or project onto them what you want them to be.
Exactly.
And in accepting reality and accepting others, it means you accept the good and the bad. The highs and the lows in life, the good and the bad in people and in yourself. Especially, I should turn that the other way around, say the good and bad in yourself and other people. In fact, the fact that you can see yourself and accept yourself realistically, it helps you to be able to see others and accept them as they are.
It starts with introspection.
Exactly.
And then it goes to extrospection. If
yes.
there's such a word.
So it really is a beautiful thing, because you begin to see, it sort of takes the gorilla off your back, in a sense that you don't have to live in an illusion
mm-hmm.
of your life and of other people's life. You just say, you see it for what it is, and you operate from that context to make it different if you want it to be different. You have to first accept it and be realistic about it so that you can move on and to make it what you want to make it. This is a beautiful thing about becoming self-actualized, because it's a conscious journey. And on the journey of consciousness, you make conscious choices. We make choices based upon what we are self-directed to do, because that is a quality of a self-actualizing person. That person is self-directed. It doesn't mean you don't coexist and work with other people, but you don't leave your decisions, the important decisions in your life, up to other people. You direct your own life based upon what you feel is best for you. And this is really, you know, and sometimes we don't make the right choices. And yet we learn from that. So it's not about always making 100% right choices all the time. No, it's about being clear that you are making the choice that you're making and being clear that you accept the results and the responsibility that are the outcome of that. A self-actualizing person does take the highest road, trying to make the best choice for him or herself in order to ascend in life, And so it's a dynamic process. It's not always straightforward, cut and dry, because there's so many things that factor into reality, that factor into who we are and accepting ourselves and others and accepting even nature, because one aspect of that second characteristic is also acceptance of nature.
Mm-hmm.
And as a scientist, I'm sure you can really appreciate that as a physicist, that what you did, what you do, and what you did in school is you learned to study nature. And tell us in 2 minutes or 3 minutes about the study of nature and how that impacts the human mind, the human soul.
Nature is objective reality. Okay, as I said earlier, reality will exist whether we perceive it or not. The pursuit of scientists from time immemorial was to not hold on to their perceptions, but to put aside their perceptions to see what nature is really saying. Okay? We know that in Western society, at one time, during the Dark Ages especially, there was the concept of the geocentric Earth, that the world was centered around the Earth, which was a concept that was false. But because scientists studied the universe, they studied the patterns upon which the stars, the planets, and everything moved, there were developments in terms of instrumental developments that helped scientists to better perceive the universe. Galileo and other scientists were able to find out that the world was not geocentric, but it was heliocentric, that we lived in a world where the Earth revolved around the sun, and the sun was not the big it in the universe. I'm not the sun, but the Earth was not the big it in the universe. So in a nutshell, nature is objective reality, and the closer we can get to understand how nature really works, the more real our perceptions.
Mm.
And I would just like to use one more example, and this is the example of Newton. People have been watching apples fall from trees since time immemorial. But Isaac Newton, according to the story about his life, he looked at an apple fall and he questioned it. He said, why does the apple have to fall down to the earth? Why couldn't it go up? Why couldn't it go sideways? Why down? And as a result of asking the question why and pursuing to try to understand why that happened, he was able to discover the gravitational laws that affect our earth. And as a result of him understanding these gravitational laws, today, these gravitational laws have been used to cause a man to go to the moon. So again, perceiving reality of how nature really works teaches scientists. It's not that scientists are so brilliant, it's just God's creation is so brilliant.
I love that, yeah.
And from understanding how God's creation works and really putting your mind to understand it is how we can discover new things and get in tune with what reality is really about.
Beautiful. So today we've discussed the first two characteristics of being a self-actualizing person. The first one, the self-actualized person has a more efficient perception of reality and more comfortable relations with reality. He or she can accept the good and the bad, the highs and the lows, and can tell the difference. The second characteristic is the acceptance of self, others, and nature. The self-actualizing person sees reality as it is and accepts responsibility for it. He or she is as objective as a subjective being can be in his or her own perception. So living life based on reality and making decisions based on the new reality that we want is the way to continue ascending in life. And when we come again next week, we're going to talk about the next two characteristics of a self-actualizing person, of the characteristics of spontaneity, simplicity, and naturalness. and the characteristic of not being self-centered, but being problem-centered in terms of wanting to resolve problems outside of yourself, not always being self-centered, but, you know, the quality of self-actualization has an innate desire to understand oneself, but not in a way that you're self-centered. And we'll talk about that the next time. So thanks again for listening to Always Ascending. I want to thank my husband, Nasheed Abdul-Khalid, for staying awake to be my guest on the show this morning.
Well, honey, can I go back to sleep now? Are we done?
We're done. We want to thank everyone
thank
for
you
listening.
Very much. It's been a pleasure.
To Always Ascending. And we'll talk to you, or we'll connect with you all next week. Take care. Peace and blessings to you all.
Thanks again for tuning in to Always Ascending. We look forward to you joining us again next week. Always Ascending inspires listeners to live life consciously and intentionally by reaching, growing, learning, climbing, becoming and achieving all that they are capable of. Always Ascending inspires us all to see our life's experiences, the joys and the challenges, as part of our ascension to becoming better human beings. Always Ascending is about purifying and celebrating our life's journeys and our life's experiences. Thank you for tuning in to Always Ascending.